Before this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, our focus will be on verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12, 9. Paul is mentioning about spiritual things. In verses 1 through 3, the identification of the Spirit. It is the person who addresses the Lord as his or her personal Lord and Savior that is saved. Just the basic. We need the Holy Spirit to minister and energize through us to even address the Lord or look to Him as our Savior. Without His Spirit, we have no relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is man trying to reach God or get His attention or try to please Him through something down here. Relationship is where God gives you His Spirit, and by His Spirit communicates and forms a relationship with the true and living God. It starts with Him and it ends with Him. He is everything to us because we are so spiritually bankrupt. So I cannot say, Lord Jesus, and I'm not talking about the words, I cannot address Jesus as my Lord without the Holy Spirit. Secondly, concerning the ministry of the Spirit, verses 4, 5, and 6, there's three areas. There are various gifts, and we've talked about these words for gifts. Doron, Ephesians 2, 8 uses the word doron, that salvation is a gift from God, it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Doron has to do with the emphasis on gift. Dorian, from Matthew 10, 8, Acts 2:34 emphasizes it is a free gift without charge. Doma emphasizes the quality of the gift. We saw in Ephesians 4:8 that God gives people to the body of Christ as gifts. They're called doma. The word that we're seeing here in our text is charisma. It is also translated gift in English, though in Greek it doesn't mean gift. It means expression of grace. It comes from the word charis, for grace. It's called gift, a translated gift in the Scriptures, because it is not of us. It's something that God's giving to us, doing for us, and ministering through us. It is not us. It's a gift of God. It's one of His expressions of His grace. And grace means favor. God's favor and grace upon us, everything that He does is out of grace and mercy. We don't earn it or not earn it. It's not whether we deserve it or not. God says, without this, you can't do anything. So He favors us. And whenever His Spirit expresses that grace, it's called charisma. There are various ways in which charisma is ministered and expressed. Verse 5. But it's the same Spirit. The emphasis here is on everything in the whole chapter is there's only one and the same Spirit that does everything. Nowhere does it say you and I do anything. Secondly, in verse 5, there are variances of ministries. The word ministries is diakona. In Greek, it's the waiter in a restaurant. So there are various services, but the same Lord. Thirdly, verse 6, there are various activities. It's the Greek word for energy. Energizing, but it is the same God who is energizing. The word works, again, is the verb energizing. All things and all people. Verse 7 starts what are called the manifestations of the Spirit. Manifestations means to unfold, to reveal, to make known. There are 9 things that are mentioned that are called the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, do you understand that these are manifestations of what? Of
the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Those of you in Greek class, since the Holy Spirit is the genitive of the word manifestations, who do the manifestations belong to? Holy Spirit. I have no way to understand or to learn or to function with the things of God. God's Spirit must manifest those things to me for me to understand or function. But He doesn't just give it to me. It's not something that He puts in my hands and says, here's the Bible, now take it and run with it. you know? There are nine manifestations. We've studied two of them. Verse 8. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Again, the emphasis is through the Spirit. Word of wisdom in Greek means a speech expression. People cannot speak the wisdom of God unless it's through the Holy Spirit, because the wisdom of God cannot be understood with our natural minds. Secondly, in verse 8, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And again, the word means speech. No one can speak the word of God and no knowledge of God, and no one can understand the knowledge of God except it be by the Holy Spirit. Period. It's the one and the same Spirit that ministers God's knowledge and causes people to understand. Now for today, 3 and 4. Verse 9. To another, faith is given by the same Spirit. All of these manifestations are working off of verse 8 for given. What is given? Faith is given by the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been in Greek class and you've heard this up to your ears. This is one of the pieces of Scripture about the word faith. In Greek, the word faith means persuasion. Pathos is the Greek goddess for persuasion. Pathos is the word from which pistis, the word for faith, comes from. Pistis means persuasion. We are said, the Bible calls us, that we are of the faith. We are of the persuasion. Why am I interested in the Word of God, and my neighbor, my wife, my kids, my best friend might say, where are you going? I'm going to hear the Word. Well, you have to go do that again? Yeah, because there is a spiritual force that is persuading me that that's what God wants me to do. Is this just a textbook, this Bible? No. God's Spirit takes the truths in the Word of God, and His Spirit persuades us with the Word of God. Even before I came to know Jesus Christ, God's Spirit was persuading me of my need of Jesus Christ. Pistis is a word that describes the ministry and function of God's Spirit. I bet you've never heard that one before, but it is true. Secondly, the Bible teaches that faith comes from God and not from man. Our text today is just one of them that shows you that. The first text is Hebrews 12:2. Do you want to write this down? Some of you already have it. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. In Greek, it's definite article, of the faith, not our faith, as it says in English. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. He is the source of faith. Secondly, Galatians 5:22, that faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith. Some of the more modern English texts changed it to faithfulness, because they said, you know, if we leave it like it is, people are going to think that the Holy Spirit produces faith. That's silly. So they changed it to faithful. Just as a question, throwing it out there, not that I'm trying to put you on the spot, but if the word was to be translated faithful, what kind of word would it have to be? In Greek.
An adverb?
Adjective. A faithful person. It describes, adverb describes the action, where an adjective describes the noun. For me to be faithful, it would have to be pistos. In order to be translated faithful, because it describes the kind of person you are, it would have to be an adjective there. It's not an adjective, it's a noun. Pistis, faith. The Old King James translated it correctly. Love, joy, peace, faith. The more modern translations changed it to faithful, so the New King James people said we have to keep up with sales. change it to faithful. The Greek word never changed. Faith is one of the elements of the fruit that's singular. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. And that one fruit is made up of love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, self-control, etc., etc. You cannot separate them one without the other. A piece of fruit has many, many elements of it. The rind, the seed, all of the elements that make up the piece of fruit. That's what Galatians 5:22 is telling you. The fruit, singular, of God's Spirit is made up of all these things. You cannot separate one from the other because one Spirit possesses all of these attributes. You can't take one away from Him. He produces all of these things. He is all of these things. You cannot have love, joy, and peace without faith. Can't. You can't separate them. How's that song go? Can't have one without the other? It all goes together. Thirdly, it's our text that we have here. 1 Corinthians 12:9. Faith is given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives people faith. He persuades people as to what God wants them to do. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, we took our study in Romans chapter 12, another area where people think the gifts of the Spirit are talked about. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than it is necessary to think, but to think soberly, as God has measured to each one the measure of faith." God measures faith to people. Folks, there are people sitting in churches today that are being told about how God wants them to perform. And they feel guilty. I'm not doing enough. I can't do what God's telling me to do. People are telling me I need to go out and do this kind of church work and this kind of Christian work. And I need to be doing all these different things. The only thing that we are held to is what God's Spirit leads you to do and what God's Spirit does through you. Example, there have been times that I want to witness. Let's say John's a non-believer that I work with, and I'm over here painting keys on the keyboard. That's my job, right? Painting keys. But I work with John, and I know John's not saved. And I'm sitting there going, you know, pastor says I need to be witnessing to everybody. And every time I go to talk to him, you know, I really don't know what, this doesn't come out right. And then you go home feeling guilty. I didn't talk to him about the Lord today. And Christians, they will get sleep at night because they felt like I let the Lord down. Then there are other times when I've been in situations where I've said, there's John over there, he's a non-believer. Why do I care? You know, I'm saved and, you know, like that one guy in the automobile plant that said, go ahead and try to witness to me and save me. I said, why? More room for me in heaven. Why do I want to see people saved? What if I'm the only person saved on the face of the earth? I got God all the way up. Why do I want you to go there? Okay. Let's just say, well, the Lord's going to chew you out. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. When I get to heaven, and I'm standing before God, and I see every, you know, all that heaven's like, and everything. Okay, go ahead and chew me out. So I can get in there and, you know, he can chew me out all he wants to. Why should I care that anybody gets saved? You know who cares? He does. There were times when I was in a situation and I'm doing my job and I'm looking at my non-believing guy that I work with and I am not even interested. Leave me alone, right? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just started talking to me. I've actually had conversations with myself. Keep your mouth shut. We don't want to get into this, do we? And the Lord's just talking on and on and on. Yeah. About the Lord. So there's times that I felt guilty because I'm not performing like people said I'm supposed to as a Christian. Then there were times when I said, okay, I'm just not going to do it. And I find myself doing it. What in the world? You know, what's the standard? What's sanity here? You understand? Christians don't sleep at night because they feel like they're not performing correctly. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can't have the faith to please God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. The Bible says that faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:9 that faith is given by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says right here. So does that mean, hey, I don't have to perform. I can just, You wait to see what faith does to you if you think you can do whatever you want to do. Remember I said the word means persuasion. I didn't mean just speech. Because what happens if we don't obey this? If God comes to us and persuades us about the Word of God and what He wants us to do, if we don't do it, what's He going to do? He has other ways of persuading us, doesn't He? Right? You walk away from this and you walk out the door saying, He's got something waiting for you to persuade you, doesn't He? That's what discipline is. It's persuasion. You don't obey mom and dad? I'm going to persuade you to obey mom and dad. See? Persuasion. Not punishment, persuasion. Why are you supposed to discipline kids? Just like we talked about the military. It's because if you go out into life and you do not obey the Word of God as your commander-in-chief, you're going to be destroyed. Simple. Oh, I'll just find a different religion. It has nothing to do with religion. Nothing. So in order to teach you to obey the Word, if you do not obey my Word, whether you think it's right or wrong, do you see the parallel here? I am not always right, and most of the time I'm wrong, because I don't know what I'm doing. When I'm trying to parent my child or my children, hey, we go down and buy books, we read books, we try to figure this thing out, right? Go to seminars, parenting classes, whatever we can to figure out how to raise kids. Because we don't know what we're doing. You know, it comes home from the hospital and it's screaming and it's, what do you do with it? You know, nobody knows what to do. So we try to do the best we can. And if you're like me, you had parents that failed miserably. Abusive or whatever. But they did the best they could. With what they knew how. You know what God tells me to do? Obey your mother and father and the Lord. Oh, but what if they're wrong? Well, what if you're out on the military battleground and the military commander says, hit the dirt! Mortar shell on its way, and you go, prove it. Or, how about this? Yeah, well, I disagree. Boom. Do you understand at home, when you submit to the discipline of your parents, they are teaching you to obey the Word. They are instilling in you the idea, the truth, that if you disobey God's Word, there are consequences. Because if you disobey me, there are consequences. You understand? It's to put it together in the head. It's not for physical punishment. It's to get in the head that if you disobey, there's pain of the consequences. And what parents try to do as best they can, though we fail, is to say, whether you agree with me or not, just obey the Word. I'm responsible. But just, what if I don't agree with you? I might not agree with me either. That's why it's got to be done. When you get out in life and you do that with God, you can't do it that way. You can't read the Word of God and say, well, I don't think I really believe that text says that, what it says there. The Christianity is just a religion. It's not a religion. The relationship with Jesus Christ. This book is living to me. I don't even know if you can tell or not. I do not study this book like it's a textbook. It's got so much life in it. As you've already can tell on Monday nights, it's got so much life in it that I can spend 2 hours on one word. It's like, we're ever going to get to what all the other words say too? One word. Look at this, guys. Boom. It just comes alive. It's got so much life in it. I can't do that with any other book. To me, it's living. To other people, it's just like, yeah, well, if you Christians want to believe that way, I don't like what this is saying. I think I'm going to change my religion. Okay. Also remember, too, that this is a roadmap, if you will. Life is a jungle. You've heard the phrase, it's a jungle out there. Would you not agree it's a jungle out there? If not worse. God's word tells me, okay, you're about ready to go out into the jungle, Bill, and you have no idea how to handle all the things that you come across. And you're going to have to stay on the path that I direct you in, or you're a goner. Because without me, you cannot do one thing. Okay, here we go. How does God want me to do this? God's Spirit speak to my heart. God give me the strength to do it because I can't do it. Here's what He wants me to do. Go out the door and turn left. Take 3 steps, turn left. Okay, I can do that. So I go out the door, I take 3 steps, and I look that way. It's like, look in the desert over there. But I look to my right. Oh, there's a park over here. Now, God's Word says turn left. I don't like sand. And it's so dry over there. Oh. Well, you know, I can always double back. Right? Off I go. Because it looks better this way. It feels better this way. It's more desirable to go this way than to go this way and say, desert? That's why Abraham gave Lot the choice. Do you want to go to the left in the desert? You want to go to the right over where Sodom and Gomorrah is? Lot's going, whoa, no choice there. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a city. Who wants to be out there in the middle of the desert where there's nothing? Well, if you're out in the middle of the desert where there's nothing, there's no sin. You know, how do you want to look at it? If God's Word says, take 3 steps, turn left, it's not because God is trying to control us or limit us. This is a survival guide. There is a real and living spirit out there who is our enemy. And guess where he is? If God's Word says, go out 3 steps and turn left, guess where Satan is? Where? The other way. God knows what He's doing. We don't know what we're doing. And as soon as we look at this book and say, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but I don't want to do that. Ooh, man, I hate to. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, the story with your coworker, is that a time, like, in other words, you didn't do, by not doing anything, you let God do His work and
yes,
not trying to do
that's
it for Him.
That's right. It's just, in that particular situation, it's, Lord, I'm here. If you want to say something to Him now or today, if this is the day, He might not want to say anything for a week, a month, a year. It's your personal relationship with the Lord. Of Lord, I'm here. If you want to say something, say something. I can't do it. And even if I did do it, my human words about the Lord is not going to help anybody. It'll just be religious emptiness.
He doesn't need our help.
That's right. No, doesn't need. My favorite story is Jonah. You know, that is God's faithfulness. God says go left. Where did Jonah go? The other way. God's so faithful. It's like, I don't want to be a witness for you. Okay, I tell you what, I got a whale of a circumstance just waiting for you. I got a whale of a trial ready to swallow you up. You will wind up where God wants you to be, even though you have to go a few hundred miles out of your way and had some seaweed wrapped around your neck, you will wind up there because you belong to Jesus Christ. He's in charge. But he allows us to go astray in order to teach us because of the discipline factor. This is a relationship. When I say turn left and you turn right, I want to teach you that every time you turn right, there's consequences. Remember when you were little, Dad said do this. You said he doesn't know what he's talking about. You did just the opposite. And your bottom was so sore you couldn't sit down. Remember that? That's the way life is. You think you know better? Mm-mm. It doesn't mean anybody's right or wrong. You just obey the word. If it's not right, God will deal with them. I just don't want God dealing with me. The second thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. First of all, I want you to see that faith, the third manifestation of the Spirit, faith is given by the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, in verse 9, and to another, gifts of healings. Notice the plural. By or in the same, some texts say, by the one Spirit. You see what the emphasis is Spirit, right? The one and the same Spirit manifests Himself in all of these various ways. Now, this is the only one of the manifestations that uses the word gifts. And it's the word charisma, right here. Charisma, expressions of grace. Secondly, please notice the word healings is plural. There are different kinds of healings. We'll take one this morning. We'll take the next one next time. But basically, there are healings that are classified as signs. As signs. They are known in Christian circles as sign gifts. Sign gifts. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Beginning at verse 1, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John the Baptist had heard in prison that the works of Christ, about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And the word another means another of the same kind. So if you understand the Greek of this text, he's not saying, are you he, or are you not him, and he's somebody else? He's acknowledging that Jesus is Messiah, but maybe there's two fulfilling all the commandments. Maybe there's two different people that are supposed to do this. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another one too? Is basically what he's saying in the Greek text. Jesus answered, so John's in prison. He's going, wait a minute here, I've been chosen to be the forerunner before Christ. Sent to introduce him to Israel, I wound up in prison. I'm going to have my head cut off. Is this it? I don't see Messiah things being fulfilled. Well, I started to, but then John's in prison, and he's wondering. So he sends his disciples and says to Jesus, they say to Jesus, John wants to know, are you the coming one, which is a title, or do we look for another? Jesus said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. This is a quote from a combined text of Isaiah 29:18. Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 6, and Isaiah 61:1. I'll repeat those to you again. Isaiah 29:18, 35, 4 through 6, and Isaiah 61:1. Jesus said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. and they left. What kind of an answer is that? You know, just give an answer. Yes or no would be fine. Except that through the prophet Isaiah, it was prophesied that God says that the anointing of God would be upon the Messiah, and when he comes, the blind will be healed, the deaf will hear, the lepers will be cleansed, the dead will be raised, and those will be signs that he is the Messiah. In John chapter 6, right after Jesus multiplied the little boy's lunch to feed the thousands of people that were there, they followed him the next day, and he turned around and he says, "You're not following me because you saw the sign." He says, "It's because your stomachs got full." How would you like to belong to a church where the pastor would guarantee you, you become a member of our church, free food for the rest of your life? Prepared, served, miraculously. Boy, you're thinking, man, the food bill and all the problems with the stove and cleaning the oven. Oh, you got all these things going through your head. Jesus said it's a one-time thing. You follow me not because you saw the sign, but because your stomachs were full. He says, I'm not going to multiply any more food. I'm not going to do any more miracles for you. It's a sign. I am the bread from heaven. It's like, what? Yeah. I multiplied the bread. That is a physical miracle as a sign of who I am spiritually. Did he do it again? Nope. And what happened? They left him. No free lunch. Don't want anything to do with that church. I like that miracle food stuff, you know, but he's not going to do it anymore. Why stick around? It's a sign. Mark chapter 16. In Matthew 11, we're going to Mark 16 now, but back in Matthew 11, Jesus said, basically, tell John that I'm performing the signs of Messiah, and that's his answer. Yes, I am the one who is to come because I match the scriptures. I'm doing the signs of Messiah. Mark chapter 16. Some of you don't have this section in your Bible, because it is disputed as to whether Mark chapter 16 verses 14 through 20 actually belong in the Bible. So if you have this missing page, I will read it to you. It is in the Textus Receptus for the King James. So later on, after the Lord's resurrection, he appeared to the 11. He said in verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." And these what? These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, and it will never hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover or be healed. What are they called again? Signs. One more text. We finish for today. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 2 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 says, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received its just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Verse 3, middle of Hebrews 2, 3, "which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us." Bebios in Greek for confirmed means to establish something. The word began to be, Hebrews 2, 3, the word began to be spoken by the Lord, but his word was established for us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles, dunamis, power, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have gifts of the Holy Spirit in your Bible? Any other translation other than gifts? Anything different than the word gifts of the Holy Spirit? It isn't the word gifts. Wouldn't you know it? It's the word to measure. the measuring out of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. But look what God did. Jesus spoke his word, and then he established his word in the disciples by performing signs and wonders and distributions of the Holy Spirit. That's how God confirmed his word. They were called signs. In theological terms, they were called messianic and apostolic signs. They will never be done again, and they will never be duplicated. Because Messiah is the only one that can manifest messianic signs, and the apostles are the only ones who can manifest apostolic signs to establish that what they were saying was the truth of the Word of God. Now, when I come into Santa Maria from the south, and I literally take this word from Greek seriously, because that's what it means. It's a sign. When it says up the freeway, when it says Santa Maria, 8 miles, it's a sign. Huh? And if there's an arrow to it, it makes it even better, but I figure I'm heading the right direction if it's facing me and I'm reading it. Now what happens if you leave Santa Barbara about 15 minutes after I leave, and we're both heading for Santa Maria, and you're just putzing along and you're thinking, well, Bill, he left 15 minutes before me, he'll get to Santa Maria before me. So you come to the 8 mile sign and it says, Santa Maria, 8 miles. And you see my car pulled over to the side of the road and I'm sitting under the sign. It's like, yeah. You pull over and you go, Brother Bill, what are you doing? Signs and wonders, man. Yeah, but it only points you in a certain direction. If you never get to where it's pointing you to, you can't sit there and worship and experience the signs. You understand what I'm saying? That's what happened with Jesus. He came and performed miracles, and they said, prove to us you're the Messiah. Basically, he says, next town. He performed physical manifestations because they didn't have the Spirit of God. It was proof of who he was. He was basically saying to John's disciples, go tell John Isaiah 29, Isaiah 35, and Isaiah 61, will you? And tell him what I have done matched those scriptures. That's the answer to your question. Because Jesus came to give signs. Some people didn't believe the signs. So what did Jesus do? He left. Messianic and apostolic signs, those were healings and miracles were called in the early church. So does God heal today? Yes, that's why healings in 1 Corinthians 12:9 is in the plural. There are also other kinds of healings. Does God heal today? Yes, he does. Does God not heal today? Yes, he does not heal today. In our next segment, we're going to spend the entire time taking the texts about healing, personal healing, along with Isaiah chapter 53. By his stripes you are healed. It's the one that everybody quotes all the time. We're going to show you from the Hebrew text and from the New Testament what that means so that we can understand God. His expressions of grace. He has given us signs. He provided signs through the apostles so that his word could be established, that this word that we hold today from the eyewitnesses, it's from God. God testified to it. But there are also many instances in Scripture where he did not heal Christians. Didn't heal Paul. Didn't heal Timothy. Did you know Timothy was sick? Trophimus was sick. Paul left him on the island of Miletus sick because he was too sick to travel. I didn't heal him. Yeah. So does God promise to heal? Does God promote good health as part of his promises? The Bible says no. I hope that doesn't discourage you, because I want to show you the scriptures on it as to what he does do. He heals for his purposes, and he will not heal for his purposes. first ones are called signs. That's one type of healing. There's another kind of healing. Personal healing for the believer. And we'll see that next time we're in the text. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. The truth truly does set us free. It puts everything into perspective. This chaotic Western way of thinking that we have and applying it in our culture and positive thinking atmosphere just takes the things of God and takes them all out of perspective and truth. We thank you that your word does put everything in line, in order, and that you desire us to be free and not to be in bondage over guilt of trying to perform for you. These are expressions of grace that you bestow upon us because we cannot do it for ourselves. Help us to see that our highest place of spiritual strength is to confess out of reality, not just doctrine, but out of reality, that without you, spiritually, we cannot do one thing. Helpless. But you know everything and we know nothing. We're totally dependent upon you. Bring us to that awareness, we pray. Bring us to that realization. As the psalmist said, help me to know my end. Help me to know the end of who, and help me to know who I am. And we thank you for your faithfulness that unveils and manifests more of the truth about you each time we come together, adding more pieces to the puzzle and setting us free to have a relationship with you, not a performance for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.